Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. On this episode of the show, we are going to recap Fight to Win 82 in Baltimore, Maryland, talk a little about the World Series of Grappling, talk a little Modern Flow Pro, and talk about the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam in Tokyo. We are also going to preview Fight to Win 83 in Connecticut.
You should really edit those all out. So it doesn't say that, so you don't confuse yourself.
Nope, leave it in, man. Okay. As always, I'm your host, Maine, here with my co-host,
Josh.
Let's get into it. Starting off with a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot of news this week other than one thing.
Gilbert Burns steps in for Gio Martinez to face AJ Agazarm. Well, there's more news, but it's more MMA related. But hey, Renzo Gracie and Gary Tonin won their MMA matches. Renzo Gracie is old as fuck, but so is Yuki Kondo. And he beat the shit out of Yuki Kondo, and Gary Tonin beat the shit out of his guy. So, yeah.
Both won by choke, I think. Yes. Yep. So, I thought it was funny that Burns was stepping in, because I think Burns is, like, what, 170s, 80? Like, dude's big.
I just think they needed to find somebody, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it.
He's a good enough grappler. I think he can contend with AJ, so I think it actually is a good match, so I'm happy with that replacement if you're going to get a replacement for that.
I would have rather had Nicky Ryan.
Do a rematch?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I think that's a good match, too, but I want to wait. I honestly want to see Nicky in, like, a year go against AJ again.
I don't care about those things at all. One little bit.
All right. So that does it for news this week. So we're going to get it right into it. Fight to Win 82 in Baltimore, Maryland was headlined by Tim Spriggs and Matt Layton. It had a $25,925 salaries and commissions. That was really weird to say that.
It was paid out. How much was paid out.
Yep, and it had a 43% submission rate. Josh and I were at this card. Josh was on this card.
You don't actually say.
And I was there covering it and doing what we do. So starting off with the teen results.
Mo Serpico defeated Angelica. You copied that weird. W-Y-C-H-E. Can I see the fight card, please? Thank you very much, sir. Angelica Weish. See? You just copied that
I didn't
weird.
Copy it wrong at he all. I copied and pasted it.
I don't even know why I'm looking at that. I can look at this.
Yeah, you don't have to rely on my notes, though. So that was a flying armbar. That was submission of the night for the kids and teens. That was about... I had it as 10 seconds.
That the 10-second one, or is this one the 10-second one? The one that got fight of the night because it was, like, 6 seconds long.
I think the first one was, like, 6 seconds long.
Here, let's back up. First of all, don't you hit the button.
Okay.
First of all, they didn't even break this card up into individual matches. The whole card is up. The whole thing. It flew by.
On Flow Grappling. So you can go back and watch the entire event. This is my dream, Josh. I love watching.
One giant chunk.
Put the entire event up. I can click play, and I can watch the event. I can sit back and enjoy. I don't got to click through individual matches. I'm amped. The whole thing is up already. It's a day later. It's less than a day later. It was up like 12 hours later, not even.
I think so. All I know is I checked this morning at like 9:30 and it was up. So this card also went by amazingly fast. I went, I think, 20 to 25 minutes ahead of when I was scheduled to go.
Yeah, I think you were scheduled to go at 8.
8:01 to be specific.
And you went at like 7:30 or something around there.
7:40-ish.
Okay.
It flew by. I'm pretty sure they were at least 20 minutes ahead of schedule.
The main
event started at 9:59.
Yeah, so it was super early.
Yeah. Anyway, Maxine Dazan defeated Mia Galindo by armbar. I think that's the one because it
okay.
was... So I walked in as this match was happening, and it went on, and then it ended because it was like 6 seconds.
Okay. I mean, it was super quick. Armbar and finish.
Anyway, moving on. Brian Anderson defeated Carlos Heredia by decision. Carlos actually comes into our gym during our open mats and trains with us a little bit. He had a little rough. He was not happy, but... It is
his first
what
fight
it is.
To win. It's exciting.
Hey, it's cool.
Happy
you
to
get
see
to step
him.
On there as like
went,
a teen.
Yeah, he was a green belt like 6 months ago. Not
something
even
like
so,
that. Yeah,
getting to blue, getting on fight to win. Awesome. On to the purple belt results.
Steve Michael defeated Nick Covelio by armbar. Oh fuck, Nuggets!
You lost your place, didn't you, Josh?
I did. I'm retarded.
David Davis.
Diaz. Oh, I hate you. Defeated John Kerman by choke. Rico Staton defeated Gannon Lang by bow and arrow choke.
I've competed against Gannon before.
Dante Cano defeated Austin Denecourt by choke. Let's talk about this next match. Derek Holmes defeated Pianki Zimmerman by cross choke. So I'm watching this from closer up at this point. I had wandered up, and he pulled guard and started sinking in a regular cross choke. I'm like, that doesn't look very deep or anything like that. And he's going, and you're watching, and I'm like, wait, is he out? And then like everybody's like, he's out.
And then people are yelling at the ref like, he's out. He was out for like seven seconds, like asleep.
Out.
And it's funny, this cross choke, it didn't look that deep.
It didn't.
And I talked to some guys at his gym, and like, oh yeah, that's a thing he does. Like, he's really good at that.
So he choked him completely unconscious, and somebody posted on Instagram, it's like, you know, whatever his Instagram name is, I'm just going to say, at Derek Holmes. He's like, at Derek Holmes, choking out anime fools. I'm like, oh, damn, that's rough.
He was in the DBZ gi. He was in that modern flow, that orange gi.
With the blue, yeah, the Goku gi.
The Goku gi.
Yeah.
I love that gi.
I had it, but it was enormous. So what's listed and what this gentleman's name is are two different things. So it says Cisco, yeah, right, but his name is Francisco Asada. There we go. He defeated Vincent Dukakis by armbar.
He wanted me to say that was a heel hook, by the way, because he had a side bet going with his buddy at the gym that he was going to win by heel hook.
His coach. It was his coach. It wasn't his buddy. It was his coach.
His coach. He wanted to win by heel hook. So, you know, allegedly that might have been an armbar. Could have been a heel hook. Not quite sure.
It was definitely an armbar.
Allegedly. That was fun. It was fun to see Cisco go out and compete in jiu-jitsu. He's taking a little break from MMA, healing up some stuff. So good to see him out competing. We see him on local MMA shows, Shogun, and other stuff.
You know, all over the place.
All over the place. So I love seeing MMA fighters get into jiu-jitsu.
Byung-Joo Lee defeated Paul Lindowski by decision. Edwin Albino defeats Aaron Perez by heel hook. Now, we confirmed, because we talked about Edwin before, and I thought personally that he had a Full Metal Alchemist tattoo on his head. It's inspired by it.
But it's an alchemy tattoo.
It is an alchemy tattoo.
Yeah, that was deep, dude. So Aaron came out with a knee brace on, and Edwin ended up heel hooking the knee brace knee, and I went, oh, that's rough.
I think at this point I had gone back and started like warming up and getting in the zone.
Yeah.
So I did not catch that one. Alex Coleman defeats Kayla Dem by decision. Alex, you know, we've talked about her before.
Yep.
She's been up and down on a whole bunch of cards. She competed against one of our teammates recently. Solid competitor. Third place at Worlds, I think it was.
Podium. First or second? I think
it was third.
Are you sure? I think
I'm almost 100% positive.
I know this. I spoke to her, you know, at length. We were getting tickets, getting to the event, and I forgot what she said. But placed at Worlds at Purple this year.
Definitely
dope competitor. That was evident here, you know, on this match.
It was a tough match. I had started again walking about and seeing all of these matches again. John Johnson defeated Greg Stotler by decision. Greg's one of our teammates, solid wrestler. John is really strong.
Fucking beast. I'll give credit to Greg, though. His arm was extended and out in a straight arm lock, and Greg was like, nope. About 10 seconds, 15 seconds left. Greg was just turning and just wasn't going to give it to
him.
Well,
in the beginning, as he got swept, he based out and turned it into a double leg and ran him almost off the edge of the mat. It was cool, though. Michael Angelo Kelly, not Michelangelo, Michael Angelo Kelly, defeats Shea Banks by decision.
And that was fight of the night for the purple belts.
Michael Mel defeated Corey Walker by decision. Tadaya Danforth defeated Kerry Caprio by armbar.
And that was submission of the night for the purple belts, deservedly so. We've seen Tadaya,
we saw him the last one.
Every single one. Because the first one, 53, he hit that dope flying triangle on that guy real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So we've seen him. Yeah. We've seen him repeatedly. This armbar was super smooth, comes up, basically does a fall behind belly down armbar. It was slick.
Yeah. Logan Yox defeated Hanya Lamas by armbar.
And that does it for the purple belts. On to the brown belt matches.
Now, was this Goiz?
I'm not sure, Josh. I have my notes over there and I'm across the table and I can't see them.
Do I?
Yep.
Do I have them across the table? I do. I haven't. Yep. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Andre Nascimento. I'm not going to say the last name because I'm going to butcher it. Anyway, and I lost my place. Andre Nascimento defeated Jared Hampton by decision. Malachi Edmonds defeated Jimmy Hochter by armbar.
And that was submission of the night for the brown belts.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the move of the night that they're going to show on the Fight to Win Facebook because they grabbed him up and he was talking, Malachi was talking to Missy and he was like, hey, you want to work together with this really quick? I got to film something with Seth. I was like, oh, you must be doing the move of the night thing.
Yeah, do it with Troy.
Slick armbar.
Dude, I talked to him about this after the match, and it's basically a mirror lock because he hits him from like the high guard with it, and he turns the shoulder out and in, and gets the armbar and shoulder lock combo on this. That's what he finished him with.
Dude, it was beautiful.
Go back and watch this match. Look at the transition he hits him. It's like mid sweep and then jumps the high guard and then gets the arm. Beautiful transition sequence. You know, great match overall and quick match too. Like what, a minute and a half?
2 minutes and some change.
Was it really that long?
Yes.
I thought it was like a minute and a half. I was watching it
because
nice
I was trying
quick.
To find the spot originally for where my match was. And I was like, oh, here this is. And I thought this match also was like 45 seconds. And I was like, oh, it went like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was, go back and watch that one just for the technique alone. And they're going to put out a video on the technique that you should watch as well. Because
more than likely.
Because Edmonds. Just a dope competitor, and it's cool to see him show what he does well.
Yeah, we were talking to him quite a bit afterwards and, just shooting the shit. Nice kid. Chad Malone defeats Josh Weinstock by decision.
That's you.
That is me.
All right, talk about your match, Josh. What'd you think?
Well,
we watched it now.
I disappointed Maine. Maine was like, we need to get a win, and I tried to get a win specifically so he wouldn't talk shit, and it didn't go my way.
You didn't get subbed.
I was thinking this, I thought this, and I was like, this is the first time on Fight to Win where I didn't look like shit.
Yeah, you put up. You were doing that.
It wasn't that I even put up. I'm not even going to say like, ooh, this was this. I've watched it several times because that's what I'm going to do and see where I went wrong. And the more I watch it, the more I actually have become pissed off about it. And I'm not like,
why are you pissed? What, is
I'm not, a... I'm not angry at him or at the judges. I'm just mad at myself for missing things that I could have done that would have helped me win. You know what I mean?
So let's get into specifics. What did you see about this match? Like, we have you here for once. We're breaking down one of your matches on the show. It's been
almost an entire year since the last time we did
53 was the first time we ever worked on your match. Actually, it was a video match. So, walk us through what specifically you think you could have done, and what did you see in the match and your breakdown that you could have done better?
So I wasn't going to overanalyze anything and try to find all of his matches and all this other stuff because I do that and I get into my own head and I start to fall into my opponent's own game. So I'll normally like catch a match or two, and I know, wait, well, he went against, we have a mutual opponent in John Del Bruge. Let me see what he did to Del Bruge that – stop Del Bruge from going. And I watched it and just noticed he just didn't stop coming forward. He just goes in and doesn't let you stop. He just goes through, cuts, and just tries to smash through. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna let that happen. I am not gonna do that. It's like I'll mess around on my feet a little bit and see where we are and we'll go from there.
I was surprised you stood as long as you stood with him, honestly.
Why?
Because he's super jacked, and I saw the weigh-in photo, and I was at the weigh-ins, and you're not super jacked.
No.
Dude, I don't like standing with jacked people. That's scary.
I don't
that
mind.
Scares me.
That's as you saw when I was making fun of the situation. Seth walked by during the weigh-ins, and he goes, oh, you guys look like exactly the same. I was like, oh, yeah, totally, if I was like 3 inches taller, totally ripped up, and black.
Yep.
Yeah. But instead, I am a doughy white dude that is balding and am not jacked. I'd have to lose another 20 pounds to look that shredded.
I don't know if you could, man. Like, he is shredded on a level that I do not think that you or I could get to.
If I worked really hard, I might be able to get to, like, 80% of that. Maybe.
I'll give you 80%. So, maybe. Yeah.
But no, he was shredded up. And because you see this sometimes, it's a mental thing where you're like, oh, this guy must be strong. So I got up on the feet and I was, you know, we were jockeying a little bit for position. And I didn't really, he's not that much taller than I am, but he has very long limbs.
Oh, yeah. We also have very short limbs, too. You got some stubby troll limbs.
I'm a T-Rex. I have very, and everywhere, not just my arms are really short. My legs are short, too. And I went in, and he reached over and was pushing me away. I was like, there is no way. If I take a shot, he's going to
sprawl on your face, Josh.
He's just going to fuck up my day. So as soon as I felt comfortable, I just pulled guard. And
I'll give you credit. Your pull was good, though. You didn't bullshit with the pull. You pulled him in and got the close guard. You didn't do that. I saw a couple guys on this card do like that half-ass pull where they like pull, but they don't close the space enough, and the guy just runs around their guard. You pulled guard correctly. I was very pleased about your guard pull, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you. If you don't know this, I'm a guard player. I play a lot from guard. I'm a fat guy. At heart, still. I'm lazy, and I want to do the easiest thing. Full guard. So, you know, we messed around and he was, you know, trying to do whatever and reaching through and grabbing my wrist. And I immediately thought, because I also do this a lot, I do the Claudio Calazans, if you grab my wrist, I'll wrist lock you. He didn't stick around for that for too long. He stood up. And at that point, I was like, all right, we're not that far into this match. And I was just, I was kind of in this zone. This was, by the way, the most, like, focused I've ever been, ever, at a match. I was, like, so ready and at one with myself. It was really weird. I've never experienced that before, where I was just super in to what I was doing. And I was noticing things that I don't normally notice until later in the match, and I'll sometimes be playing catch-up. He was breathing really hard, like, immediately. It was, I was like, are you not really in shape? Like, you're hustling. Are you having an adrenaline dump? I'm very confused. And so, you know, he stood up for a little bit and I went to my tried and true, tried to underhook the leg and omoplata him. Love that move. Didn't work the first time, went back to guard, tried it again, missed it. He started bringing me through. I rolled and tried to go for a knee bar. We ended up in 50-50, and that's where the match kind of stayed.
Yeah. At that point, the match slowed down significantly. You guys were moving around, and then it slowed down significantly.
Time went by so quickly. I cannot tell you. I was like, shit, I've probably got like another 4 minutes. And then my coach, I just hear him. He goes, hey, you got like 2 minutes left. I was like, what? Really? And this was also the first time, because I am very hard to coach, not in the sense of I'm hard-headed and I don't want to listen to what you have to tell me. It's just a lot of times I zone everything out. But I heard a lot of stuff, which again, this is a new experience for me because I've not done this, and I'm very sorry that I'm being long-winded, but it's easy to give an account of something that I was.
Man, we're like 40 episodes in. If they don't like listen to hear us talk, like, you turned into the wrong show. they listen to us talk about sumo for like
true.
An hour a month. You know,
that's true.
Talk about your match.
I'm listening. We pulled through. I went to the 50-50 at this point. I'm in 50-50 for 15 seconds. And one person on from where I was, if you're looking at the stage from the catwalk off to my left, I hear, boo. I'm like, what? And then I hear, do something. And I was very tempted to just yell, shut the fuck up. But,
I didn't hear that. I was in the best. I was not in the back, but I was in the fighter area at this point. I didn't hear any of that. I was just watching your match.
I heard, boo, do something. And I'm like, why are you here? Like, this isn't the UFC where all these people are going to boo with you. And there have been shittier matches than this one.
I'll give you that. You were not the shittiest match on the card.
No.
It wasn't New Jersey for you.
No, definitely was not. You know, it wasn't boring. It was a tiny technical battle that we were both looking for one tiny thing to where we would go forward. And it just didn't happen. In 50-50, he tried a couple of cross chokes. Nothing was ever deep. Most of the time it was over my mouth.
I've never seen you get cross choked, by the way.
I've been cross choked
before.
Have you? Yeah.
I used to do that thick-ass neck, like uncross-chokeable neck.
No, it just wasn't in a great position to do it. It was more for show, and, you know.
Yeah,
not...
it's for the rule set. You go for submissions, and
right.
So there's
and
less submission
and
attempts.
I'm not knocking Chad for doing that because he's playing by the rules and using them to their advantage. At one point, he sweat in my eye.
Like, That just happens, man. That's jujitsu.
No, like straight up, like one single bead. I watched it because my eyes are open. I'm looking up at him, and a bead came down and fell directly in the center of my eye. And my initial reaction, again, was just to be like, oh, God. Like, because, you know, some dude is sweating on you, and you get, like, sweat in your mouth or in your eye. You're really grossed out.
The worst one ever I got. Sweat in the eyeball is bad because you can see it and you watch it. In the nose is bad. In the mouth is bad. The worst was I got sweat in my ear hole, and it did that thing when you have water in your ear.
Ugh.
And it was a different temperature.
Ugh.
And it was someone else. It happened like 6 months ago, and I remember it really. It made me.
Was it me? Was that me?
Might have been MMA day. It was bad because you're punching the shit out of me. I remember. We've had some really bad rounds. It might have been you on the back mats at the gym. But it was a different like temperature, and it was a rough round. After I think I took like two rounds off because I got it out of my ear, and then I needed like a break for a minute. So yeah, getting sweat in your eyeballs and your orifices is not great.
It's so bad. Jay Regulbuto made mention of it on the commentary. He's like, I thought he was going to push away his arm; it was bothering him. But nope, he's just wiping the sweat out of his eyes. And again, we're still in 50-50. I'm trying to bring stuff across, and there were things where he did something and it just wasn't firing off at the time. I was like, I'm watching this and I'm like, you dumb fat piece of shit, transition over, roll, let go of the 50-50, turn over and start attacking the knee bar. You'll be on the outside and he won't be able to come on top, because as soon as he does, you'll come through. I'm watching this going, you dumb fuck, you were so singularly focused on the straight foot lock or him turning his leg in to toe hold him.
You wanted that toe hold. You tunnel visioned. I watched you on it. Like, you were tunnel visioned. I'm like,
and
yo,
he did something.
He did
exactly what was right by leaning on it and keeping his toes pointed out. And I was like, come on, like, do something. And that's why, again, if you go through and watch this, and if you want to see me and be like, oh, you suck at jiu-jitsu, here's your chance to look and go, hey, why are you
talking
about
it? If you
want to
see you suck at jiu-jitsu, there are definitely worse matches you've had we can point them to, Josh.
Yes, but I'm just saying, if you want to talk shit, by all means, like, if you want to watch it and talk shit, there you go. There's a more recent video, so you don't have to go searching for it. I lost my train of thought because you fucked me all up.
Yeah, I do that, man. Toe hold?
Yeah, so I was going for a toe hold, and at one point, he starts reaching for it when my leg was in front of him. I was like, yes, please grab it. So he went for it. And then tried to get it deeper, and I let go with my leg and moved it over to him, like, do this move. And if you watch, you see me do this hand motion, and the commentary thought I was trying to get the crowd into it. I was trying to get him to go, yeah, like, do it, because you're going to have to turn your body and your leg is going to turn in, and I am in no position to have my foot fucked up. And as soon as you move, I'm going to rip your leg off.
I could not figure out what the fuck you're doing with your hand there. So I was in the back looking. I was like, is he pissed that he's stalling, or what are you doing?
So somebody was like, I saw what you did there. You would have made Hulk Hogan proud. I was like, I don't like Hulk Hogan. Like, back in the day when Hulk Hogan was popular, I wasn't a fan of him.
You've taken this to a strange tangent that I don't understand,
well,
Josh.
They brought up Hulk Hogan, and okay. I was like, okay, I don't like Hulk Hogan. He was like, well, he doesn't like you. I was like, well, he's a racist. I was an Ultimate Warrior fan. So there you go.
Jesus.
It went there. He started to come through to half guard. I kept my half guard composed. I tried to get underneath into deep half. At the end, I was coming up and, you know, my coach was like, get that sweep. And I started to come up and I didn't know how much time was left.
Not a whole lot.
There was like 6 seconds. I was like, oh, I'm going to come up and there's going to be like another 15 seconds. The sweep's going to really help. And I'm just going to be on the move and look. And then time went and I was like, oh, and I was like, the two omoplata attempts, the footlock. I might be able to get this. I might be able to, or at least get like a flag. If I lose by split decision, I'm not going to be like upset about it. So we go through and it's like, referees, raise your flags. They all went for him. And you'll see me, I'll be like, oh, and I look super defeated. And I was like, I could also see where they all got that from. So I'm not mad at them. Like, fuck you guys. Nobody gave me whatever. You know, I shook his hand. He was like, it was a good fucking match. He was like, your guard was like impossible to pass. And that, I mean, it made me feel better because he passed Del Bruges' guard. He didn't get past mine. So, you know, I have a notoriously hard guard to pass in the gi. In no
so you
gi
know them.
So, you know, it was fun. I had a good time. Chad's a good dude. I'm not taking anything away from him. He game planned it correctly for what he needed to do and did enough to take the win. And, you know, it happens. And
you take it as a learning experience moving forward. Watch your match and do new stuff.
And a small little story. In the back, I'm talking to Chris Tran.
Yeah.
While he's eating spring rolls.
Shout out to his dad.
Shout out to his dad who made him spring rolls, which Missy called burritos at one point. I was like, yo, that's funny. You should just call them burritos.
Kind of the same thing, honestly.
And I was like, yeah, they're sort of, you know, they're like the Asian burrito. It's a little spring
that's
roll.
That's a sushi burrito, Josh.
Whatever. So Missy was like, so how'd you do? Because she's all over the place. And I was like, well, I didn't win. But she goes, you know what? You didn't lose either. And at this point, I'm confused. I was like, yeah, I did. She goes, no, you know the jiu-jitsu saying. You either win or you learned. So you learned a lot. And you know what? The other guy, he didn't learn shit. And I just sat there and I thought about it. And I was like, you can't beat that logic. Yeah, you win. Yes, correct.
Yo, fuck that educating, Josh. I'm here to win. I'm not trying to learn shit.
So
I'm trying to take a leg.
It was really amusing. I got to talk to a whole lot of people. It was really fun. So anyway, moving on. We've already slowed this podcast down 20 minutes by me rambling. Angelo Claiborne defeated Patrick Mahoney by choke. Ellis Karadag. Shout out, Ellis. He defeated Anthony Garavaglia by decision. Ellis competed today, actually, in another thing.
I saw that on Facebook. I was like, wait, he competed last night at, like, 9, and then all of a sudden, or 8:30, and all of a sudden he's on a train to some other place to compete in some other event.
Long Island or somewhere in New York, something like that.
Like, not a close thing, like a couple hours away to compete.
He hustled around to go
but
there.
He competes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the local guys that we see on more super fights, local super fights. If there's a super fight in probably
a four or five hour
area, he'll go, like, a whole host of weight classes. Like, dude is down. That's why he's brown. Like, goes and competes, and
he's down to brown.
He's down for the brown, Josh.
That is so awkward.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris Tran defeated Jared Bosk by decision,
and that was fight of the night for the brown belts.
David Adams defeated Mike Stewart Jr. by decision. Maggie Grindotti defeated Vanessa Griffin by decision, becoming the fight to win brown and purple belt lightweight champion.
So,
care to explain that really quickly?
Okay, so I talked to Seth, and Maggie is the current purple belt world champion. She's Cyborg's wife, girlfriend, something.
I'm not going to say, but Cyborg was there.
Well, they're romantically engaged in something. So, Cyborg was there. That was cool to see him. He's as big as I thought he was. So she is the current world champion. Vanessa Griffin had the brown belt fight to win pro lightweight title. Apparently someone called out someone and they put this match together. So now Maggie defeats Vanessa via decision. Good match. And I think she wins it at the end. She shows up a sub or like a high teepee kind of triangle at the end of the match. The match was primarily contested on the feet and she wins the decision and she wins the brown belt title. So I asked Seth.
She's a purple belt, by the way.
And she's a purple belt. So I asked Seth, like, what's the deal? She's a brown belt champion now. And I went, okay. So she's a purple belt with the brown belt champion. Super weird, but I'm down for it.
Yeah, but apparently there's not a whole crop of women lining up to, like, oh, I'll take on Vanessa Griffin, that are brown belts. So they sort of have to...
You got to make matches where people will take them.
Exactly. And they wanted it to happen, so...
And Maggie's legit, obviously, and Vanessa's legit. Like, they're both, you know, outstanding female grapplers that are not in the black belt division, but goddamn. Good match.
Yes. Josh Pike defeats Aaron Brooks by decision, becoming the Fight to Win brown belt lightweight champion. Moving on to the black belts.
Stealing my shit, Josh, just saying.
Well, you were taking too long and you started getting rambly. I'm beating you. Mark Vives, which we definitely confirmed as his last name, and we spoke to him quite a bit. He defeated Colin Stewart by choke.
That was submission of the night for the black belts.
We get to train with Colin, so we're bummed that we saw him lose, but
it was a good match.
It was a good match, and you know, Mark is tough, and he just takes matches wherever, and you know, more props to him for just hustling.
He's on the Chicago card, isn't he?
Yes.
Coming up like in
said.
Like 2 weeks or three
yeah,
weeks,
two
something
weeks,
like that.
Because they're going to Connecticut and then Chicago. Yep. Yeah,
this is a fun
weeks.
Match back and forth. Mark didn't have a ton of sub attempts until he gets on Colin's back and gets the choke.
Yeah.
It was, again, it was a good match. I enjoyed it. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Javi Cardozo defeated Brett Rainey by decision. Kenneth Brown defeated Will Moreno by decision. Nick Cavonese defeated Brad Pearson by decision.
It was cool to see Nick again 2 weeks in a row. We saw him last week on Philly, and again, this is in the gi. So Nick looked good in the gi. It was cool to see him, you know, get a win in person. Again, another fun match to watch
you,
for the Black
Belts. You saw him win in person last week, didn't you?
No, it was, it was Gilbert
oh, yeah,
Burns.
That's
yeah,
right, that's right.
Dorino decisioned him last week.
That's
and
right.
Then that was a great match last week. It was, again, he put on another great performance this week. Love watching that guy compete. For some reason, no idea why, I thought he was primarily a no-gi guy. So it was cool to see him in the gi because I don't recall ever seeing him in the gi before.
Oh.
I'm not. That's just probably a failing in myself, but it was great.
Isaac July Jr. defeated Carlos Lima by decision.
And that was fight of the night for the black belts. Jump the gun there.
Fucking deservedly so.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, they were going ham. Isaac almost ran Carlos off the mat repeatedly.
Yep.
They were going hard. Somebody that works in the same market that I do came with me, actually, and watched it. And he was like, yo, this shit is amazing. He's like,
not a jiu-jitsu guy, by the way.
No, he did judo, though.
Okay, so
he knows a little
the game.
Bit about
okay.
grappling, but not a whole lot. But he was like, I don't 100% understand what's going on, but this match, I fucking love this. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
It was a great match.
Go back and watch this one.
Definitely go back and watch this one.
This was fucking fun to watch live. It was a crazy match. Deservedly fight of the night for the black belts for this card.
Absolutely. Tim Spriggs defeated Matt Layton by split decision. Now, I talked to Matt at the weigh-ins, talked to him a little bit. Beforehand, not a lot happened in this match. He got to guard as quickly as he could, and Tim tried to pass the entire time. Nothing really happened. Like, Matt tried to get underneath of him.
Sorry, no big positional changes happened.
Right.
A shitload happened in this match.
A lot of back and forthing trying to get past and throw bys and thing like that.
Tons of grip work, tons of position grip changes and stomp. Really, really technical grip battle that happened between Spriggs and Layton. You saw Spriggs continuously trying to pass legs, get around Layton's guard. Layton would go to, like, to spider guard and push him away and go to, like, lapel guards. And then Tim was repeatedly trying to lift him up, turn him over, go to the side, but never would overcommit his position in order to get swept. And that was really, really what the defining piece of this match was, is both guys didn't want to overcommit because, you know, Tim wanted to pass aggressively and Layton wanted to sweep and get on top. And both guys refused to concede unless they were going to get what they wanted. And it was a really cool match.
And at the very end, probably with about 8 to 10 seconds left, Tim fell back on a footlock and then the match ended. They raised their flags. They called it a split decision, 2 for Tim, obviously, and 1 for Matt.
Super close match. I think that
I honestly thought it was going to be unanimous because Matt was playing guard and he was going underneath and pushed a little bit, but again, you're first judging off of the submission attempts, and since there was really only one submission attempt, that's the way I would have judged it.
It should be for Spriggs, because yeah, fight to win, the judging criteria for them is submission. That is the first. If there is a submission attempt or more submission attempts, that is who wins the match. So if you have one guy that has a sub attempt, even if it's a small foot lock at the end of the match versus someone that has not put up any submission attempts for the entire match, that person wins the match per the fight to win judging criteria. So that alone, at least in Josh's eyes, should have won Tim the match. I thought that Tim's activity in conjunction with that should have been unanimous as well. I mean, I can see the split. It was definitely a super close match.
Super close match.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matt Leighton's been on, like, a whole shitload of their cards, and mm-hmm. he's all over the place.
And he's looking good.
Yes.
Like, I'm super excited to see how he develops.
That was actually his first loss in Fight to Win. He was 6-0 before this defeat.
Dude, taking a loss to Spriggs is no joke, though. Like, Spriggs is... Dude, he's the former champion for Fight to Win at light heavyweight.
It would have been interesting. It's going to be interesting to see them in an IBJJF match. Like, seeing them in a 10-minute, like, points and seeing how it's actually scored.
I didn't actually calculate the points in this one. I don't believe there would
none.
Be...
None. There would be an advantage
there would be
for
an
that
advantage
foot lock.
For Spriggs.
Right, but you're also taking away 2 minutes of the match.
Yep, because it was an 8-minute match.
And I don't know if the referees would have said that Tim was doing enough, and they might have given him stalling warnings as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Again, I think this match looks very
it's close.
Different.
It's a very interesting match to watch. It was good. The card was great. Everybody there was great. The Fight to Win crew, as always, is amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
The event was big, too. Like, a lot of people.
I think there had
to be over 1,000 people in that arena. It was.
I don't know, but there was a good chunk of people. There were a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people willing to talk, a lot of people willing to help out, everybody being friendly. Like, the match was over and people were like, you know, it's cool, whatever. Chad, for instance, he's like, good match, man. He's like, now we can be friends on Facebook. I was like, oh, okay. That it was the match that stopped it from us being connected via social media. I see.
But it was cool. The jiu-jitsu community is always great. Like, going out to Philly and going out to the Baltimore card, which we know more people in, it's just really cool to see how friendly the jiu-jitsu community is. And just in person, all these different schools get together. Everyone's willing to talk to you. Everyone's, you know, happy to be there and enjoying watching jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So, once again, Fight to Win. Apply. If you're purple belt and above, apply. Fight to Win is a great organization to compete for. They are for the competitors, for the fighters, whatever you want to call them. They're for you. They want you to make money. Do it. I'm definitely going to be on the next one when they announce it. I'm going to try to be. I'm also, if it just becomes a continuing thing, I might try to go for the most losses.
Don't talk and do that, man. Winners on the show, Josh, so I don't compete anymore.
That was Fight to Win.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? If you're in the Baltimore area, specifically the White Marsh and Nottingham area, stop by at Grapple Academy Martial Arts, grappling for the whole family. It's a great gym. I train out of there 6 or 7 days a week. Rachel trains there. Josh pops in occasionally. It's full of great people, and if you watched Fight to Win Pro 82 in Baltimore and you're looking for a place to train, it's a good place to start. Also, they have yoga with Yogamore. Get loose, feel relaxed, do some yoga. It's good for you. This episode is also brought to you in part by Cobell Homes. You need a bathroom remodeled, they're the guys to do it. They do great work in and around the Baltimore area, and the owner trains jiu-jitsu. This episode is also brought to you in part by Flood Solutions. Flood Solutions does great work. You got a flood, you have some water damage, they're the guys to do it. I talked about them way at the old house. They fixed our basement completely in like 2 days, completely gutted the whole thing, fixed all the water damage, and really did fantastic work. Can't recommend them enough if you have water damage and need it repaired. Now, back to the show. So that does it for Fight to Win. On to the results for the UAE JJF Grand Slam in Tokyo. Just going to go through a couple of results on this one, not a long trance. Josh and I've not had a chance to watch many of these matches, watched the DJ match and watched a couple other items, but, you know, not a huge amount of time.
I actually came home and just flipped on my phone. My wife was looking up stuff for our vacation in a couple of weeks, and I was like, oh, this is on. So it was just randomly popping around to different matches, and I haven't got to watch a whole lot of it, but these are the results, so you can watch it. They're all on there. There's a billion fucking matches on Flow Grappling. Find them. Female, brown, black, adult, 49 kilo. Maisa Bastos takes first. Aya Matsumoto from Japan takes second, and Iori Echigo takes third. As you can hear, there aren't two third places. You got one third place. Yeah,
that's how UAE JJF runs it. Mm-hmm. On to the 55-kilo division.
For the female brown black. Amal Ajmahid, I think I nailed that, takes first. Livia Gluchowska takes second. And Inumi Lee takes third. We're going to... It's
UAE JJF does not have the results listed very well. They mix...
Well, because they have brown,
yeah, man,
in
have
there,
a...
they're putting in the brown results. Right. So we don't have it copy and pasted. So if you hear these weird pauses, it's just because we're scrolling down. The female brown black belt adult, 62 kilo. Larissa Paez takes first, and Natalia De Souza takes second.
Two-person division. On to the 70-kilogram division for the women.
Samantha Cook takes first place. Claudia Doval takes second. And Priscilla Siqueira takes third. And here is that brief pause. Hear the dulcet sounds.
On to the 90-kilogram division for the women.
Gabrielle Pesania takes first. Jessica Da Silva takes second. There's too many days and does in that name. Deandra.
What's up, Brazil?
Da Silva. And then Chantel Thompson takes third. I think we're about to get into the men's black belt division. Again, we're doing a little bit of scrolling. Sorry, guys.
It's going to sound great. There we go. Yep. On to the 56-kilogram division for the black belt, division of two.
Nobuhiro Sawada takes first, and Masaki Todoroko takes second.
On to the 62-kilogram division for the men.
Somebody you hear us talking about all the time, Tomoyuki Hashimoto.
Registered as Carpe Diem.
Yeah, not Kyle Terra. He takes first. João Gabriel Batista de Souza takes second. And Kazuya Kawashima takes third.
On to the 69-kilogram division. Division of two again.
Lee Ting takes first. And Medeiros Marcio takes second.
On to the 77-kilo division.
Diego Romulo takes first. Kleber Koike takes second. And Jake McKenzie takes third.
On to the 85-kilo division.
DJ Jackson, first place. I was wondering where he was at Fight to Win.
Yeah, because he wasn't at Fight to Win. Usually, like, because we saw Jamil there. We saw, like, you know,
you saw
Ty Murphy. We
saw Spree.
Everyone was there.
Bradley Hill takes second. And Thomas Meitz takes third.
On to the 94-kilo division.
Another person that we talk about all the time. Hudson Mateus takes first. Arya Esfandmaz. I said it right before we
You
recorded.
Said it right in the before, but not in the on the recording, man.
And then Anton Menenko takes third.
On to the 110-kilo division, a division of two.
Gutenberg Pereira first. Vonderson Amakawa takes second.
Last time we saw Gutenberg, he was he beat Briggs at the Fight to Win Pro 70.
I think we saw him at Worlds and whatnot, too.
Oh, my God. Worlds was between these two, wasn't it?
And several other things that we've seen him on.
Oh, my God, man.
We're going to go more in-depth to watching and probably talk a little bit more about this stuff next week. So that was it for now.
So we were going to cover Modern Flow this episode. But Modern Flow happened the exact same time as Fight to Win Pro is happening. So at this point in time, we have not got a chance to watch the event. If you do want to watch the event, go out and find it. They've put on, you know, fun events in the past.
And we will be covering it next week. There's not a whole lot to cover next week other than Fight to Win. So
yep.
We'll have more time to talk about these things. We like trying to be timely with the events that happen, but sometimes that doesn't work.
Yeah, Josh and I were both at Fight to Win, and so I can't realistically be at Fight to Win and then watching another grappling event trying to cover Fight to Win live. That's just unprofessional as shit, so.
Yes, and actually, since we're talking about that, we're also talking about the World Series of Grappling.
Yep. That was a 6.5-hour video, and again, happened the same day as Fight to Win, so we were unable to get through that in the, what is it about?
Allotted amount of time.
20 hours between Fight to Win. No, sorry. I left like 15 hours between yesterday's Fight to Win and the current recording of this episode.
So again, this is more stuff that we'll touch on. We'll be able to more highlight it for you, give you some things if you don't watch it. And
they're both really cool events, so we are going to go back and look at and watch them, and you should as well.
We said before, who is going to pay these $500 buy-ins? And people paid for it, so it's going to happen, and so we'll cover it most certainly.
So on to our preview of Fight to Win 83 in Danbury, Connecticut. This event is headlined by 175-pound black belt gi match, Rafael Formiga Barbosa versus Cassio Wernick.
Interesting. That'll be a good match to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's Wise main event. Like, it's a good-ass match.
Oh, man. I'm looking at names and I can already see.
Is it a master's match?
No. It just says regular match. 205 black belt gi match, Oscar Hip versus Todd Muekenhe. I didn't fuck that up as much as I thought it was. Anyway, 200-pound black belt no gi match, Kyle Megales versus Jordan Lutzky. Oh, there he is again. 200-pound black belt gi match, Joe Appadisano.
That was actually pretty good, Josh.
Killed it versus Dan Durkee. 185-pound black belt gi match, Diego Arujo versus Enrique Galarza. 180-pound black belt no gi match, Isaiah Wright versus Vinicius de Jesus. 180-pound black belt gi match, Leonardo Delgado versus Jared Lawton.
Oh shit, Jared Lawton's on this card as well.
How about that?
Jared Lawton's a guy from Maine. We covered him a couple weeks ago on Boston. So it's cool to see him on another card.
175-pound black belt gi match, Chris Simmons versus Marcos Paulo Cruvinel. There are a lot of Delgado. Are these the Delgado brothers like rolling down? Oh, we're about to find out in a second.
I do not know.
Omar Delgado versus Rob Gutierrez in a 175-pound black belt gi match. João Paulo Cruvinel. Did he? There's like multiple relatives. I'm just an idiot.
We've established on the show, Josh.
Yes. João Paulo Cruvinel versus Jamari Guarin at 165 pounds in the gi. 165-pound black belt no gi, Mike Palladino versus Frankie Roberts. 165-pound black belt gi match, Dave Dobson versus Dan Koval. 155-pound black belt gi match, Felipe Simplicio.
Let's go with that.
Versus Bruno Cesar de Souza. And
we got the
I thought that was a title match.
That was a title match. So, black belts came out in force for Connecticut.
They did. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah. And then we have a host of brown belt matches.
And I'm just trying to make sure that there are no title matches.
I do not believe there's any titles.
Like,
we have a couple teens and orange belts on this card as well. And, dude, after the Maryland card, like, I'm going to pay more attention to those matches. I've always kind of...
We kind of skip over them, but,
yeah, but
watching these guys come up and through, you're like, oh.
You realize how good some of the kids are? And, like, the teens, you're like, God,
and you're
damn.
Like, those kids are going to fuck
Yo,
me
I'm so
up later
happy that I'm going to age into master soon here. I'm excited to get old to get away from 19-year-olds. Like, oh, shit, you're a 19-year-old purple belt with 18 years of training? Yeah, I'm going to age out into masters. I'll see you guys later. So, this is the Connecticut card, Fight to Win Pro 83. Looks outstanding. Tons of black belts. We'll have to count these up and actually see how many black belts are on this card. Always love seeing top-heavy black belt cards. Should be an outstanding event. So that will do it for this week's show. I have been Maine, as always, joined with my co-host.
The loser.
Josh. I was like, you actually the name, Josh?
No, I was just going to go with the loser.
Man, Josh, you sold tickets. You a winner.
I did sell tickets, which means I made a little bit of cash. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'm not really that bummed on myself.
You should be. I want to see you. Well, I'm just saying, man, you shouldn't be happy about a loss. Fuck that.
I'm not happy about it, but I'm not disappointed in myself.
You should be fundamentally sad. You should think about this.
Oh, you mean because I haven't watched my fucking match six times already and I'm getting more and more furious at myself?
Good.
Because I'm like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
Use that fire, Josh.
Here's a fun story. I barambolo a lot. I'm kind of a fat-looking dude, if you haven't noticed. I barambolo a lot.
Not looking. You kind of are.
Oh, yeah. Here's another little fucking story. As I get off the scale after we weighed in and everything, and he goes, I was going to bet you last week $50 that you weren't going to make weight. And I was like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, Josh, we established that. So Josh
because
made weight, by the way.
I did make weight. I was on the fucking dot.
190.
Yeah. Maine was super concerned because as you heard last week and behind the curtains, he made some shit up. I told him, he was like, do you want to get on the scale when he said
And Josh
that?
Looked at me and went, no.
I said, no. I had just eaten. I've had over 2 gallons of water that day. I was like, dude, I'm going to be over 200 pounds with all this water and everything.
So he gets on the scale with
his pants
on.
No, you won't. No, you won't. I got on the scale, just took off my flip-flops, got on. I wait. It goes beep, beep, 211. And he goes, how are you going to make weight? I was like, dog, I'm full of water. I have to piss right now. I'll go piss and I'll go lose 3 pounds. And I went and took a piss and I got back on the scale and I was like, man, it says 208. And he goes, oh. And again, while
that's
recording.
18 pounds over your weight you had to weigh in less than 4 days at that
19
time.
19 pounds.
19 pounds in 4.5 days. I was like, yo, I don't know if you can do it. And then you got sick this week.
Yeah, that was another thing. I got sick this week, like some stomach bug. So I didn't eat lead up to the weigh-in, so that might have helped. Not really. I just felt like shit, and I got on. I was like, yay. Somebody saw me at work today, and they were like, you look so much
brighter.
Dude,
you looked rough at weigh-ins.
I didn't feel good.
Like, you looked like you had been sick for like 3 days. I was like, yo, you got to fight this dude tomorrow, and he looks jacked. This is not great.
My wife was like, I'm so glad you didn't get sick like a day or two later, because this would have been really bad. I was like, yeah, it would have. Yeah, it would have. But
so props to you for making, you know, 190.
So
I would have put $50 on it.
I really wish you
weight.
Actually said that, because I would have had another $50.
Rachel said, I would have been pissed if you bet him that much money and then lost.
So that was the other thing. I texted him when I got home because I was like, oh, I got to take a shit. I took a shit. I pissed
this might
again.
Be too much information at the end of the podcast, Josh.
Oh, you want to? I'll give you another story in just a second. So, you know, I go in and I was like, I just lost 8 more pounds. I'm at 200 and I have to pee again already. And he's like, fine, I guess you're making weight. So after I made weight, like I said, I was a little sick. This is in depth. I am an adult and I'm okay with this because we've had this discussion before. I don't trust you if it's never happened before. I went to fart and I shit my pants on the way home from weigh-ins. I had to go. I went home instead of going back to work to quickly rinse off and change clothes.
Yeah, so Josh had a rough week leading up to weigh-ins. On this. And
I told
just
the,
so you guys
I told,
know. So,
I told Troy that, the night pigeon.
Yeah. In the beginning like of this show, probably like episode 5 or 6, Josh told a 5 to 8 minute story about him shitting his pants that I had to cut out. So just so you know, this has been a recurring theme in the show that I've cut out. This one's for you guys.
Yeah. I don't, if we ever meet and you're like, yo, I've never shit my pants, I don't trust you. I do not trust you. If you've never shit your pants as an adult, not as a child, that happens. If you have never shit your pants, whether it was by accident because you were sick or whatever, if you've never shit your pants or sharted, I don't trust you. Okay?
So that'll do it for this week on the Grappling Rewind podcast.
See you on the mats. As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something you want us to cover, you want to clarify, you know, we are here.
You
want to
tell us we're idiots? Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, you know, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.